Recently, my TikTok feed has been dominated by one thing. Videos of people trying out a new chatbot that's powered by artificial intelligence.
ChatGPT.
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 It's called ChatGPT, and it's going to change the world.
It's pretty simple. You just type in a question, and it spits out an incredibly sophisticated answer.
ChatGPT wrote me this fast and simple dinner recipe.
Here I'm going to ask it to help me make a Chrome extension.
I asked it to write an eviction letter for excessive noise.
Let's see if AI can make a rap better than Drake.
Write me a screenplay where Batman buys coffee.
I just got an AI to write a cover letter for me, and as someone that worked in HR before, I'm kind of impressed.
I've been blown away by this thing. So I called up our colleague Berber Jin, who's been writing about it. How big of a leap do you think this technology is?
Yeah, I think it's a big leap. I think it's a big breakthrough for sort of consumer applications of artificial intelligence. And I think it's certainly like the most exciting like consumer AI product, at least I've encountered in my life so far.
So I asked ChatGPT to write an intro for this episode, and I'm going to read it to you. Here's what it wrote.
Okay.
Welcome to The Journal, a podcast about technology and its impact on society. In today's episode, we'll be exploring ChatGPT, a new chatbot developed by OpenAI. ChatGPT has the ability to have natural, human-like conversations, and its development raises important questions about the future of artificial intelligence and the human-computer interaction. So sit back, relax, and join us as we delve into the exciting and sometimes controversial world of AI.
I would not be able to tell the difference, honestly.
What? Not the format of our show. Now, here's an intro written by us humans. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knutson. It's Tuesday, January 17th. Coming up on the show, ChatGPT, the company behind it, and where the technology could take us.
This episode is brought to you by Workday. Get the whole band together with Workday and pair finance and HR on one platform for an epic performance. With Workday AI at the core, you'll make confident decisions faster than ever, and you'll drive flawless business and finance operations with an agile platform that constantly evolves to future-proof your organization. Be a finance and HR rockstar with Workday. Visit workday.com to learn more.
When Berber and I spoke the other day, we couldn't log into ChatGPT at first.
It says they're at capacity now, unfortunately.
Bummer.
Yeah.
ChatGPT keeps reaching capacity because it's so popular. The chatbot has grown so fast that it's broken records.
I mean, ChatGPT crossed like 1 million users in 5 days, I think. And I don't think they did any marketing, really. Like, that's extremely, extremely rare.
The company behind ChatGPT is called OpenAI.
Yeah, so they were founded back in 2015 with, I think, $1 billion in grant funding from a bunch of really famous people like Elon Musk, Reid Hoffman, who co-founded LinkedIn, Sam Altman, who's the CEO now.
The company was founded as a nonprofit. On its website, OpenAI says that its mission is to, quote, ensure that artificial general intelligence benefits all of humanity.
The stated goal of OpenAI is to develop what people call artificial general intelligence, which is a state where machines can basically do anything humans can. Any task, any emotion, any feeling. That's their goal. Like, they want to be the first to develop that type of artificial intelligence, and they've been quite public about their desire to do so.
As a nonprofit, OpenAI hoped to change the way AI research had mostly been done, in secret and at big tech giants.
And the goal at that time was to form, like, a research counterweight to the big tech companies like Google. So the thinking was that Google, they were being really private about their AI research. there wasn't much public visibility into what they were creating, and there was a lot of risk in concentrating that much talent within the big tech companies.
In its early days, as a nonprofit, OpenAI said it would prioritize ethics over making money.
You know, a big movement within academia is like setting up research that can make sure AI is released in ethical ways. Like, if you think about a lot of the problems with AI, you know, racial profiling is a really powerful example of how artificial intelligence algorithms can exacerbate stereotypes that people have. So I think those risks for artificial intelligence have been really clear. And I think OpenAI, they're very aware of that. They basically promised sort of this ethos of like cooperation and putting humanity before shareholders and profits.
In 2019, one of the founders, Sam Altman, took the helm as CEO. He'd been an investor in companies like Airbnb and Reddit. Here he is around the time he took over.
We are trying to build one intelligence that is smarter and more capable than humans in every way. We're trying to use this to solve the biggest problems facing the world. We're trying to use this. I think we will enable hundreds of billions, trillions of dollars of new businesses because we'll have such powerful artificial intelligence. And someday, I think we will sort of build the descendants of humanity and launch them off to colonize the universe.
After taking over, Altman made a big pivot. He created a for-profit arm of OpenAI.
One thing Sam did say was, like, he told employees, we need to make money in order to get more money. And that became the new philosophy, to like really focus on developing AI products that consumers will want and that consumers and businesses will be willing to pay for. And that's what Sam's known for in the Valley. He's a really good marketer. He's a really good salesman. So I think that knack really pushed OpenAI to develop stuff that had, you know, more intuitive business application.
How did people in the artificial intelligence world view that decision to go from a nonprofit to a for-profit?
I think it was very controversial, and it still is controversial to this day. I think the AI community, it's a type of community where people are very idealistic. People believe that the technology is powerful enough for like people to want to put sort of the collective interest above any individual or corporation. And after Sam made that shift, I mean, a lot of employees actually left OpenAI to start OpenAI Alternatives. So it was definitely a controversial decision, and I think it still remains so to this day.
Technically, OpenAI is a capped profit company, meaning there's a limit on how much money its investors can make. An OpenAI spokesperson said the company has also made certain AI models available to the public through open source. Altman says creating artificial intelligence is expensive, and that the best way to get the resources needed is to give investors an opportunity to make money. Here's Altman being interviewed on stage at a tech conference in 2019.
Has moving to this model changed how you do your research, how you do your business?
Not at all. In spirit, we still view ourselves as working for the world, but I think you have to sort of play the field as it lies, and we just need so much capital to do our work. I think like we'll need more capital than any nonprofit has ever raised, probably. And so this was sort of a reflection of reality.
Not long after becoming CEO, Altman found a partner with Deep Pockets.
And so Sam, he takes over as CEO, and I think he flies to Seattle and pitches Satya Nadella, the Microsoft CEO, on an early version of GPT.
Microsoft liked the pitch and invested $1 billion into OpenAI.
That I think totally changed the identity of the company. Now they have a huge tech company and they're financially beholden in some ways to like try their hardest to make that investment profitable.
But is this new technology a good thing? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A few months ago, OpenAI released its first product to the public, and it wasn't a chatbot. It was called DALL-E 2.
DALL-E 2 was a text-to-image generator, so you could type, you know, like, paint an Andy Warhol-style painting about two bunnies fighting in an abandoned parking lot. And it could give you a pretty realistic depiction of that. So that was another thing that kind of took off, I think, in the summer that people played around with. It was like a Friday afternoon. They were like, one of my editors was like sending me their DALL-E 2 creations, which I thought was very funny because we're usually very serious around here. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I remember when things like just having played with it that was so magical about it was that I can dream up what a piece of art might look like. Like you say, an Andy Warhol style painting of two bunnies fighting in a parking lot. But I would have no ability to actually create that or draw that. But I could just tell this machine to do it and it could spit out like five or six different paintings that would depict that in a way that were really, really good.
It kind of has that sort of playful element. Like people love to concoct things, be creative and see what this technology can produce. So yeah, I think it like tapped into like everyone's inner childish inclinations.
A few months later, in November, OpenAI released ChatGPT. And if you're wondering, the GPT stands for Generative Pre-trained Transformer. The technology is a huge jump in publicly available artificial intelligence.
It can just answer questions you could like never ask a machine in the past, like totally random questions, like, I don't know, like write a poem in the style of like E.E. Cummings about the California weather storm.
If you want to hear ChatGPT's E.E. Cummings style poem, stick around until after the credits.
Like no machine in the past that was available to people in the public could give those types of responses.
The chatbot is so good that students are starting to use it to cheat. It's already been banned by New York City public schools.
New York City public schools are banning its students from accessing ChatGPT.
Blocking access to this artificial intelligence tool is called ChatGPT.
Blocking the chatbot, concerned that it could turn into the ultimate cheating machine.
But it's not just cheating in school that people are worried about. It's also jobs. ChatGPT is capable of writing press releases, marketing copy, and even computer coding.
I think it could definitely, unfortunately, end up eliminating a lot of jobs. I'm not super worried about it, like, you know, replacing artists and novelists, playwrights. But I definitely think down the road it could automate out, so to speak, a lot of jobs. You know, it's what Silicon Valley has been doing for a long time.
Ullman has said he thinks AI will eliminate existing jobs, but that it will also lead to the creation of new ones. ChatGPT is impressive, but it isn't perfect. Early users have reported that it gets basic math problems wrong and spits out obvious factual inaccuracies. Why does it get information wrong?
The algorithms, they haven't had enough practice basically like scraping data from the web and making sure the results are accurate. ChatGPT, in theory, becomes more accurate over time the more practice it gets, basically like scraping information from the web and distilling it.
As the technology improves, OpenAI stands to make a lot of money.
So Sam has told investors he thinks this thing can make like up to $1 billion in just a few years. Investors are really excited. They think this could become the next Google. They think this could become the next trillion-dollar company.
Right now, OpenAI is talking with investors about a funding round that would value the company at $29 billion. Altman says he thinks ChatGPT and artificial intelligence could be the start of a paradigm shift.
If we're successful in this quest, and it's very hard, but if we're successful, I think it will be the most significant technological transformation in human history. I think it will eclipse the agricultural revolution, the industrial revolution, the internet revolution all put together. And so we're trying to think about how we want that world to go.
I think the trade-off OpenAI basically made was like, you know, we're going to sort of embrace this culture of trying to develop things as fast as we can and potentially assume more risk that comes with, like, a more aggressive approach.
Part of that aggressive approach? Releasing newer and even smarter versions of ChatGPT.
OpenAI is releasing GPT-4, and I think they could go, like, up to GPT-7, GPT-8 with the idea that each model becomes more powerful than the last. And this is kind of hard to wrap your head around, but like a lot of AI researchers think that eventually ChatGPT will become self-improving. And so like it can like take off really fast on its own, and it won't really need like human engineers to like very intentionally try and make a better version each time. Like the technology itself will be smart enough to improve itself, if that makes sense.
I feel a little bit conflicted about this technology because on the one hand, I'm really sort of in awe of its potential capabilities and very impressed. And on the other hand, I'm a little bit worried about its capabilities and functionality and how powerful it is. That maybe this could be something that eliminates jobs or changes the world in a very dramatic way.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's a good point. I think AI has already done that, or automation has already done that to some extent in terms of eliminating a lot of jobs. And I think, yeah, I think what's scary is you don't really know what direction this technology could lead. You know, it has the potential to eliminate a lot of jobs, for one, but it also has the potential to sort of escape our ability to control or regulate it. I personally think it's a bit scary how powerful the technology is, and I'm a bit unnerved by it, for sure.
Same. Earlier today, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella spoke to the Wall Street Journal at the World Economic Forum in Davos. He said Microsoft is planning to use OpenAI technology in all of its products moving forward.
Generally, and then even ChatGPT will be available as an API, and so we're very, very excited about that. And then we will incorporate this in our own application. So you can fully expect us to, obviously, every product of Microsoft will have some of the same AI capabilities to completely transform the product.
You can hear more from the Satya Nadella interview on our show tomorrow. That's all for today, Tuesday, January 17th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. If you like our show, follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We're out every weekday afternoon. Now, here's that poem we had ChatGPT write about a California storm in the style of E.E. Cummings. Thunder rumbles like a lion's roar. As lightning strikes the California shore, rain pounds the pavement like a drum, nature's symphony, a tempest come. The palm trees sway and dance with glee as the wind whips through their leaves so free. The city lights flicker and fade, a brilliant display, a storm-made shade. A rainbow arches across the sky, a promise of peace, a reason to sigh. And as the storm fades and the sun shines, we're reminded of the beauty that lies within the chaos, within the strife. There's always a glimmer of new life. So let the storm rage, let it pour, for in its wake, new growth will soar.
I mean, that's a I feel like if I were like an elementary school teacher and like a sixth grader wrote that, A plus. But it feels like it feels super cliched. I mean, like, whatever, like the storm being scary and like it representing rebirth. I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's pretty good.